What's going on, crazy world? Welcome to another episode of the Black Sheep Perspective. I got what I personally think is the baddest motherfucker in the state of Florida right now. He's definitely the baddest motherfucker when it comes to the BKC. We're talking about Bare Knuckle Fighting Championship. We have not just the champion in the house, but we got a five-time champion?
Six-time.
Man, I insulted this man. Six-time world champion in many different leagues. This man has been literally around the world whooping ass, fighting the best of the best. He's a very close friend of mine. He was one of my first people to bring on the podcast, and we had a great time, and then he's done so many big things since then. It's great to have you back, my brother, Luis Palomino, a.k.a. Baboon. Thank you for coming, my brother.
Thank you, man. Always a pleasure, my brother.
So we got this belt right here that we got on camera, and I know that people watching, they're going to see this dope-ass belt. So you became the Bare Knuckle Fighting Champion for 155. And I want to talk about what you were willing to do a couple of months ago when you were calling everything out. We're going to talk about that for sure. So he became the 155 champion, which is the lightweight champion. In boxing, there's different weight classes, at different levels. But
I think we call it welterweight or something.
Yeah, there's something weird there.
I
so
still don't even know how.
I don't either. I get lost with it. Somebody told me light heavyweight was like 185. I was like, what the fuck? That's light heavyweight?
I don't know how that goes.
But anyhow, big fight coming up, brother. You finally get to defend this title. Coming up on June 26th.
Yes.
June 26th at the
Hard Rock Casino.
The Hard Rock Casino, okay? So this is huge for Miami. Guys, if you're watching right now, you have better show your ass. Go to the damn fight. Show your love. It's not just Luis Palomino. There's a lot of Miami guys fighting. This card is so stacked. The main event is Hector Lombar representing Miami, representing our Latin people, Cubans, everything else. Then comes Luis Palomino, who's defending his belt against some fucking ass clown that we're going to talk about. Then comes, right before you is...
I'm not sure about the order, but yeah. Joey Beltran.
Oh, that's right. Joey Beltran.
Heavyweight champion's on the card, too. He's defending his title.
As well, you're right.
Against Sam Shoemaker, fucking Haymaker.
Haymaker, white guy right there. Then you got Yuli.
Yuli Monster fighting against Thiago the Pitbull.
Exactly. Wow. Thiago, another hometown guy from Coconut Creek, Brazilian, very known, been in the UFC game for a while. So... this dude, when you won the belt, this clown from England, is he? He's from England. I guess David Feldman, shout out to David Feldman. He's the founder and the whole guy, everything behind BKFC. I guess he decided to get this guy to come in. I don't know. I know I didn't like it. I didn't approve it. I know you took it to the heart. So tell people watching, you won this championship. It's your moment. Explain what happened from there.
Well, first off, you know, as you mentioned, I have spent the last, three, 4 years in my MMA time fighting outdoors. Fighting, you know, overseas and whatnot. And finally, I get to fight in my hometown, you know, my family, my friends, my fans, you know. And I've always been a big seller here, you know. And here comes this clown. They were doing this big thing where, like, the British are coming. There was a big promotion about the British are coming.
Okay.
And it was about Mark Gottbeer and Tyler Goodjohn. And Tyler Goodjohn, this clown, you know, he did some boxing fights out there in England, and I don't know what exact record was, but he did some boxing fights over there. He brags about being on the undercard of Anthony Joshua and whatnot. And he was also 4-0 in bare knuckle in England.
Over there,
he was a champion over there. So I guess the dude has a big following and whatnot, you know, and they bring this dude, man. But it was kind of whack because, you know, I'm finally in front of all my people. I just won the belt. I just defended my belt for the first time. Against the face of the organization, you know, undefeated, you know, Jim Allers,
right.
You know, that was running over, you know, everybody, the beast, you know. And I do it in a spectacular form in less than 45 seconds. And when it's my time to thank my sponsors and talk to my people, this clown comes up here. And it's kind of like a sucker punch, you know, because it's very easy to go behind somebody and just punch him in the face.
Yeah.
He comes and snatches the mic and thinks that he was, like, on some hardcore shit. Like, he was, like, some cool shit. That he's got the mic out of my hand. Like, yeah, I didn't expect nobody to come up in the ring and just take a mic.
Right, right.
The fact that they allowed him was kind of whack, you know, that he was up there.
I completely agree because, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, it's a real disrespectful gesture to do no matter what. If, you know, most fighters are respectful. They know what it is to be humble. They know what it is to take a loss. They know what it is to let somebody have their moment, their shine. Yeah. And the man tried to steal your shine. If he wanted to cause some ruckus, challenge you, something like that, and maybe... you know, maybe David Feldman could have handled that better as well.
Hey, maybe let me finish doing my interview.
Exactly.
I'm doing my interview. The interview was over, and the prep. Like, hey, look, well, you know, we got somebody that wants to send on it. Okay, it's different.
Right.
But in the middle, I didn't even get to think, you know, the people that sponsored me, like, man, we've talked about this. Like, it's very hard to get through this sport or any combat sport, right? Without sponsors, man, they make it easier for you. You know, I can actually focus on my training because right. they're helping me out. They're taking care of the bills, man. So I, it's a big thing for me to address them and thank them, and I couldn't even finish that.
Right.
Or address my crowd and my family and my people that, you know, and enjoy my moment, you know, like something I worked so hard for, and it's pretty much ticking for me. That's why it's just bad blood. That's why it just became personal.
So you, when you were defending your belt the first time, you did it against, you mentioned him, Jim Allers, a very, very well-known, very well-loved hometown guy. Yep. And he was also, I don't want to say was, he's also a good friend of yours. You guys, yes. You guys were good friends before that.
Yeah.
You know, the fight game got into you. Yeah. The heat got there. You guys sold an amazing fight. You know, you guys did phenomenal. Miami came out. They showed out to go see you guys. And then, you know, with all due respect to Jim, you put a fucking clinic on him.
Yeah.
You put a fucking clinic on him. There's just no way around that. You yeah. did, my brother. You look phenomenal. I don't think he touched you. I don't think he threw anything at you.
Thank you. I mean, he threw what he threw, but nothing landed. In the three fights that I've had in bare knuckle, I've been touched once. You can watch the tapes. Like, and it was only in a five-round fight, which was my debut, against Elvin Brito. Elvin Brito landed with one jab in five rounds. I won every single round. And the only reason why I didn't knock this dude out is because I was in a tournament setting. And I did not want to overextend and fracture or break a hand before capturing that belt.
Mm.
And I proved it. Once I grabbed that belt, it's knockout after knockout.
Right. You know?
And I proved it again in June 26.
And one of the things that we were talking about just before we started recording, and by the way, to all the fans watching, you know, this man is so busy right now from doing interviews to training. He's got another 2 weeks, which is basically the hardest weeks, you know. It's crunch time. It's when you go balls out to anybody who hasn't gotten ready for a fight. So I only get to squeeze an hour out of him, and I appreciate it, you know, Baboon. But we were talking right before we started recording. Baboon had an amazing career in MMA, and I'm not sure it's completely over yet. You know, we can find that out when it comes. But, like I was telling you and discussing with many close friends of mine, the grind, the amount of wear and tear that MMA training does to your body is on another level.
Oh, yeah.
And the thing is that fighters are fighters. Most of them, even though they have their divas, most of them are not going to tell you just how much pain they're in. And if somebody knows, it's going to be a real close friend or lover, and that's about
a trainer.
It. Yeah, that's about it. And even your trainer's going to, like, suck it up.
Yep.
So you go through massive injuries. You go through all kinds of stuff. You got to train three different tiers. You got to train your grappling, your stand-up, and then your jiu-jitsu. When I say grappling, I mean your wrestling, you know, to take somebody down. Your stand-up can be your boxing, kickboxing, whatever your specialty is. And once you hit that ground, your jiu-jitsu, you now don't have to do any of that. All you're doing is practicing boxing.
Yep.
And you look phenomenal, bro. You look as fast as you ever been, your head movement, your everything. I want to see you box. I want to see you do it all because you're a whole different beast, you know, when you don't have to worry about a takedown or wrestling or anything of that nature.
Everything.
You know, how does your body feel right now going into this fight?
Amazing, man. I'm at 40. I feel like I'm peaking. I feel like I'm peaking like a 30-year-old would. You know, as a matter of fact, there's this dude that Hector Lombard introduced me to, Darian D-Lab. And Darian has, like, some of the most advanced technology when it comes to, like, training people. And he's not my trainer. He's a very good friend of mine. But he put me on this computer, right, this system that he has. And the thing tells you everything. Like, I had done a backflip doing a mid work one day, and I kind of like pulled my back.
Okay.
But it wasn't a serious injury,
the
right?
The fuck you doing backflip during mid work, bro? We'll talk about that later.
What the fuck? I got excited. I hadn't done it in a long time. I was hitting the mid. I used to hit the mids, do backflips. So I just did it out of nowhere. And with Coach Tigre, he didn't even know what the hell I was doing. I was just hyper, and I just did it, and I kind of pulled my back a little bit. You know, I haven't done it in years. I haven't done flips in years. Man, the computer even pulled that out. You know, and it tells you, like,
it can tell that your back was tense.
It can tell that there's a little damage and there's colors to it, right? If it's very minor, like, you know, it's not a big problem. This was in my last fight, right before the Jim Adams fight. So it was very minor, but it was there, and I didn't see anything, and it came out of the computer. So the computer showed that the test showed that I had the cardio of a 30-year-old. You know, that I had the physique and the, you know, the numbers came out of a 30-year-old. I'm 40, man. I turned 41 in October.
What else did you kind of change or make better? Is there other things, or it was just less training, less wear and tear?
I think you're
eating a lot better.
Ever since
I've known you, though, Baboon, you've always been disciplined. You've never been no drinker. I don't think you've ever smoked. I don't even know how you eat.
I've had my time of smoking. I've had it, but not through fighting.
Okay.
You know, and I've had my drinking. I've always celebrated drinking, but I cut the shit out.
Okay.
You know, as soon as I hit that age, you know, where people put that thing in your head, you know, the age, I did focus a lot on recovery. That's my biggest secret is that is okay. recovery and rest. Because I wouldn't rest, man. You know, I would only rest when I would hurt something. So I would wait until my body broke something and said, no, sit your ass down for me to actually take a break. So I started to listen to my body before I get to that point, the recovery process, treating my body from massage therapy to physical therapy. I mean, you name it, you know, IV therapy, like you name it. I do anything that has to do with healing the body.
So on that tip, would you now tell your younger generation, you know, one of the best things, and I think I might have mentioned this on our last podcast, which was over a year and a half ago. One of the best things, one of the most memorable times that I have with you is when I brought a young fighter to you, and it was Josh Mercado, the Fireball. Yeah. You remember him, and he was coming up in the game, and I said, hey, Baboon, you mind giving my little man some advice, man? You know, you're a veteran. Everybody knows you. You know, you're the one representing Miami, you and George. Yeah. What would you tell him, man? And it was like one of the main things, if not the only thing, was like, you know, don't take these big-ass fights. Don't try to prove something. Make sure you're ready. You know, this and that. Well, now fast forward. Here we are. That was 15 years ago, brother. What kind of advice are you going to give these young fighters coming up? Doesn't matter if they're boxing, MMA. What kind of advice would you tell them? Hey, start doing this now versus don't wait till you're older.
Well, yeah, man. Yeah, you got to start taking care of your body now. You know, like there's going to be nagging injuries, right? Like maybe you pull a shoulder or a knee pain, right? And you ignore this shit because the warrior in you, the fighter in you, you keep ignoring it. Then it gets a little better, and then you ignore it, and then that shit adds up later on, man. Later down the road,
right?
That's just gonna come back at you like full circle, you know. So those little nagging injuries, man, you want to take it. You want to go to a professional, to a physical therapist. You want to get that X-ray done. You want to get that MRI done, and you want to take action. If I would have taken action on my knee, where I have two torn ligaments. For most people that don't know, I did my last 4 years of MMA with two torn ligaments in the same knee.
Wow.
If I had stopped and got in the surgery and actually, you know, done the recovery properly, I'd probably still be doing MMA right now.
Right.
You know, but as you mentioned, the wear and tear from MMA, man, the fact that I stopped that, the fact that I'm not wrestling anymore, that I'm not grappling anymore, that I'm not kicking the bag. I used to do thousands of kicks a week. If it was like 1,500, 2,000 a week, it was weekly. I wasn't born with talent of kicking. I wasn't born with talent of striking. I learned this shit the hard way, and I had to do it by repetition. Numbers on top of numbers. That's the way that I learned. The only gift that I would say that I was born with is that one punch, you know, knockout power. That's the only gift that I was given. Everything else I had to work for. Like, I didn't know how to kick flashy and nice. You know, I didn't know how to wrestle or grapple. Like, I had to learn this shit, like, for real, for real. I had to practice it.
You know, something that's unfortunate with that advice that you're giving the youngsters. You mentioned earlier that if you don't have sponsorships, it makes training and taking professional approach a lot more difficult because you got to work.
Oh,
you got to, if you're going to school, who knows? No parent wants to hear, yeah, mom, I'm going to be a fighter. And you're not going to do shit and just train all fucking day and they carry your weight. Hell no, that ain't going to happen. So sponsorships helps a lot. So I think a lot of these fighters, and it's not to defend them because your advice is still the best advice, they don't want to get those injuries. I'm sorry. They don't want to get the surgeries, do the therapy, take 3-4 months off. You know, because then they think they're falling behind. Yeah. They're not getting a paycheck. Everybody's passing them, and it sucks that they have to think like that. You know, it'd be different if you had a system that was there to pay you a little bit every month, which would be a sponsor, man. Which would be something like that.
MMA insurance or something like that. You know, like man, look. Another thing that I can tell the youngsters, man, okay, is, and I see this in almost every gym, especially in those 20-year-olds, right, the 20s, right, is this fighters.
20-year-olds, listen up, man.
These fighters are not training to improve. They're training to fight. There's a huge difference.
They're only getting ready for camps, in camps, right?
So, like, when they're in camp, they train to fight, right? So, like, they put the body to the pressure, to the torture, all that, blah, blah. And then when that fight's over, party and Miami lifestyle and the drinking and the smoking and the females and all that, right? When you should be training to improve. Today, one of my big changes is that I don't train to fight anymore. I train to improve, and I prepare myself to fight. There's a difference.
Mm-hmm. I get
it. You know what I'm saying?
I get it.
So I train for improvement. Every day I go to the gym, I train to improve something. My jab, dropping my hand, picking it up, my footwork. Like, I don't overexceed my body all the time. Like, I train to make something better in my game. And then when I have a contract and I have a call for a fight, it's when I start prepping for that fight. That only takes 6 to 8 weeks.
Right.
You know what I mean?
That's when you get more specific, more
you
know, technical.
So you got to switch the way you think, and you got to train to improve, not train only to fight. You can't do that forever, man.
And by the way, speaking of training and who trains you, Eric Castellanos, big shout out to him, a.k.a. Tigre, a very, very, very known, you can almost say in the MMA community, a local celebrity, I think. I definitely think he deserves it without a doubt.
100%.
And he's an amazing guy. Majority of everybody loves the hell out of him. Yep. Fucking firecracker that guy is. You know, he's awesome. He's fun. And he still bangs with young guys.
Still spars.
Still spars. I love that about him. Yeah, tell us a little bit about, man, that impact with him. Because you haven't been with him the whole time, right?
No, man, no.
Five years, okay.
El Tigre, man, I've known him for many years. We've known each other. We see each other all the time, right, you know, right. throughout the MMA community. But Eric Castaños and I started working about 5 years back, you know, and he is the reason why I'm clean today, you know, and I give him all the respects to that, because in 5 years, he's gotten what most people will call an old man that you can't teach new tricks to,
mm-hmm.
and he taught me new tricks, you know what I mean? Like, he fixed a lot of my mistakes. When we first started working together, he told me that he always had this respect for me because I had those, you know, that type of balls that to just sit on the paint and just trade.
Right, right.
And then he told me, look, it's all good. You did that when you were younger, but you're older now.
Right.
So now let's think a little more, you know, and let's not give too much to chance. The problem with that style was that I would give too much to chance, hence my record.
Right, right.
You know, I would give too much to a chance, the possibility of losing and getting caught. And being wild and not landing, my accuracy wasn't all there. I was landing in wrong places, fracture a hand. I've had a couple of fractures. And now you've seen how clean and crisp I am, you know? And not to leave anybody out, in the same last 5 years that I've been working with Eric Castaños, I've been working with Abner Pareda, which is my strength and conditioning coach, which is the reason why I call myself today an athlete. Mm. You know, and I give that to him because this dude, like, did everything with me, man. He tried drowning me and keep his Cambridge this the other day again, man. You know,
yes.
Like, yeah, he does triathlons for fun. Like, who the hell does triathlons for fun, you know? This dude does everything with me. So I love training with people like that because there's a lot of conditioning trainers that work on the basis of drowning you in a type of work to make you like, see how hard that was?
Right.
And they're like, the science is not really there. You know?
Right.
Like, they're just trying to kill you. They're not taking into consideration all the boxing, wrestling, everything you did before.
Yep.
You know, so this dude is very, like, big time on the science, and he does everything with me. Everything's marked. Your heart rate, this, heart rate, everything's, like, on point, like, the science behind it. And, of course, Dino Spencer, I've been working with him since I signed the contract with Bare Knuckle. Actually, about 6 to 7 months or 8 months before I signed the contract, because we were trying to get a boxing fight that we could never get.
Who was there, a specific opponent you were looking for, or just anyone?
No, man, we were looking for any boxing for a pro debut. We had let go of MMA. I started training with Tigre and Dino, and I was already training with Tigre, but I had gotten into boxing now, and I was training with Dino, and we were trying to get a fight. Man, we had offers with like 15-0, 16-0, a 25-0, a 20-0, like great records, right?
Right.
And the dudes would not take the fight against me. And I'm not going to sit here and say, oh, people were scared to fight me. No, man. It was just not a smart move.
For them, like, of course.
No, of course. If you get a 22-year-old, for example, which most of them were like in the 20s, right? You get a 22-year-old with a 20-0 record. You know, you're going to fight Palomino next, right? What is that fight? A Palomino is an MMA fighter that doesn't have one pro fight in boxing. What does that fight do for that 20-year-old? Not a damn thing.
Right.
Now, if you lose against Palomino, what does that do? That's horrible. You lost to an old man.
Right.
I was 39 years old.
Set their whole record back.
Exactly. Yeah. And if you win, who did you beat? A 39-year-old man.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? So it's not like they were scared of me or nothing. I just couldn't get a fight, you know? Then bare knuckle surfaced, and I started seeing, you know, it was happening. And people kept mentioning my name to Dave as well. As I started, you know, to push to get in there. And we're here now, man. You know, we captured it.
And you got the belt.
Yes,
ain't that something? By the way, after you got the belt and you defended it against Jim, how's that friendship now? Everything back to normal?
Everything
you guys
good,
cool?
Everything. Jim and I were always good. Look, there's no way that we can go into a fight that big and be cool with each other like that, man.
Right.
You know?
Especially bare knuckle.
Yeah, no. There's a psych in fighters.
Mm.
There's a switch button. And I just think that we switched it off right off the bat. And that was the best way to go, you know? I kind of poked the bear myself, you know, as you remember what happened in the press conference.
A little headbutt. I mean, head push.
Yeah, a little touch, you know. Like, you know, but, you know, we have to sell the fight. And it's not just about we've made things fake. It was real.
Right. Well, I know that.
It wasn't that we just said in the fight. It's like we needed to get in that aspect, in that reality, because we're about to hurt each other, man. We're about to fuck each other up. That's we're going to be there to shake your hands and be, I can't be cool with you. We're going to fight, man. Mm-hmm. You want to hurt me, I want to hurt you. Let's be real, you know? But today, we cool, man. We cool. And as a matter of fact, you know, in my last interview, I mentioned it as well. I spoke to Jim not too long ago, and I offered him to be a part of my team. You know what I mean? So he's still thinking about it. He likes the idea, you know, and I'm very open about sharing that with anybody. Because if look, I'm not crazy about dropping to 145 pounds. You know, I'm 40 years old, man. Mm. It's a little harder. I'm very disciplined and I'm very knowledgeable and I can do it. Yes. And
what are you walking around at?
I don't pass 170.
Okay.
So I'll be 170 if I don't train. If I'm training, I fluctuate between 66 and 70.
And I would imagine your body fat is probably like around, what, 8?
Right now, yeah, 8, 10.
Right.
But I normally walk around 13, 14 on a pass. You know, I'm not a big person, man. I was always a small 155er, you know. And that's why I did the last 3-4 years of MMA. I did it at 145, you know, fighting the Russians out there. They're like 145ers, but, with Jim, what I offered to him was, I'm not crazy about going to 145. He was talking about going down to 145. There's only two reasons I would drop to 145, you know, and that's this one annoying ass, I call him the annoying little slutty gnat. They call him Dat Nguyen. He's a champion at 135 in bare knuckle.
Oh, the boxer.
He don't stop talking shit, man. And I would definitely go through the weight cut just to beat the living crap out of that dude because I can't stand that motherfucker. And I was supporting the dude. He's just ridiculous. He's talking about fighting Joey Bell, trying to heavyweight, and coming to take my belt at 55. Like, he hasn't even defended his belt at 135.
Yeah, he just got it against
Bradford,
whatever his name, Beckford.
When he beat Bedford, his name went silent. He did the fight, he won, and then like a week, 2 weeks later, nobody mentioned him again.
100%, yeah, you heard.
So then I did this video because I, you know, the frustration hit me where I wasn't getting a fight. It was already 5 months without a fight, and I'm calling out everybody, you know. And here comes this dude, you know, because he sees that video. It was a normal, like it was fresh, like it was a snap, you know. It's not like it was planned. I just said what I was feeling in the moment, and it kind of went viral, you know, in a sense, right? In our community. And the dude comes, you know, chasing clout, you know, talking this, talking that. So the back and forth started going, you know, whatever, man. So if I dropped to 145, it'd be to beat the living crap out of him. Or if it was to be a big name like Artem Lobov that he's talking about 145. Or if it's a money fight, you know, something like that. You know, but I told Jim, I'm not crazy about going to 145. As a matter of fact, if you were to join my team, you know, I'm talking about like management, team, like be with us, like 100%. If he joins my team, the 145-pound division is all his. We will never fight again. He's my team. You know, it'll be for him. I would never go down to 145. You know, I'll stay at 55, and I got my eyes set at 165, man.
So on that note, because I was going to get to that, so to elaborate a little bit to those listening, in case you guys don't follow Baboon, when he made this video, basically he wanted to defend his belt. He was asking for a big fight against I can't say his last name.
Malignaggi,
ex-boxer. Had a great run, had a great career, had some big fights against big fighter, big names. Did he fight Mayweather?
Yeah, he fought Mayweather. He was a champion.
World champion. A lot of great things. And then eventually he sparred with McGregor. That's kind of what revived him a little bit. And he came over here to bare knuckle and he fought Artem. Yeah. Artem. And he lost, right? Or
Malignaggi, they gave him the fight, no?
I don't know, man. It was a toss-up. They beat the shit out of each other.
I believe he lost. I mean, most people believe he lost. But well, I think they gave it to him, though.
Regardless, you know, you started looking for that one. You were looking for a big fight.
Oh, no. They gave it to Artem.
They did, right?
Yeah.
So you were looking for a big fight. And evidently, you know things that we don't. No one wanted to take a fight. And so at that point, you made this video and you said, hey, I'm willing to go down to 145. You're a 155 champ. You're willing to go down to 145 for the belt, is what you said. Or go up to the 165, which is welterweight, for the belt, which is still vacant, okay? In that process, you did a little bit of calling out, and you did it, what I say is very respectfully.
Yeah.
You called out Thiago Alves.
Yeah.
And tell us a little bit about that. Was that just all business, or was it a little bit more to it?
All business. I mean, there's two things to that one. You know, for one, I called out everybody because I was frustrated about not getting a fight. That was my only problem with BKFC is that I was inactive. And I said, anybody at 45, give me somebody at 55 because it's a young sport. So I could understand that there's not that many heads. So I said, you know what, I'll make it easier for you. 45, 55, 65. You know? And I said, hell, I even do super fight. I was never attacking, for those of you that were thinking I was attacking the 175-pound title. I'm not crazy, man. I'm not delusional. I'm very realistic with myself. Can I beat some of the 175ers? Yes.
Of course.
Can I beat all of them and be the champion there? No, I don't believe so. You know, come on, man. More bone density.
Yeah, of course.
You know? But I called out Thiago for a super fight because I've been a fan of Thiago for a very long time.
As have I.
Yeah. And quite frankly, I wasn't very impressed with his performance in his debut.
Mm-hmm.
And I've never believed, because I've sparred with him in the past, you know, I've never believed that he has better hands than me. You know, I know that he's fought some legends and he's done some big things.
But he's also done it with kicks and Muay Thai behind
it. The kicks, the knees, you know, yeah. The size.
Of course,
you know,
big difference.
But I don't think that he can take me when it comes to hands, man. You know, so when I called him out, it was not just like a disrespectful thing. It was a thing. It's a true challenge. Like a samurai there. I live like a samurai, you know? Like, I have that spirit, you know? Like, I want the challenge. I'm not looking for easy fights. I'm looking for competition. And if I can't get a big name to defend my title against, if I can't pick up the 145 or 165-pound title because they're not ready to surface yet, then I want a big name. And the biggest name that I can see right there in front of me was Thiago Alves. So I challenged him at 170. And I got a reply from him. You know, hey, thank you for the respectful call-out. Of fighting you at 170 does nothing for my career. So his exact words, you know. And I said, I know, he probably thought I was, you know, he probably didn't think I was that crazy. So I was like, okay, so I'll fight you at 175 for the title, though. You know what I mean? So that's when the title talk came out, and there was negotiations going on.
There was a possibility.
Yeah, there was we were talking.
Oh shit!
Yeah, me and the promotion were talking. His management was talking, and you know, Malky's the one that manages him. And to my belief, Malky butt me out of the loop.
You know? Yeah, and I kind of like what you said. I'm not trying to stir shit up with anybody, but it is what it is. Like how you said that, it seems like it makes the most business sense for first round management. Shout out to first round management. Okay, they manage a lot of the homies, a lot of friends of mine, Yuli included, and very a lot of other great fighters. A good manager is going to try to make it prosperous for all the right people, and all the right people be the ones who are under his management. Mm-hmm. So what ended up happening is our boy, and I know Yuli's a good friend of yours as well.
Oh, yes.
Yuli the Monster Diaz, shout out to our homeboy. He's fighting again on the 26th on the same card with Baboon. He got the fight. Mm-hmm. He also did a call out way, way more humbler and nicer and way.
Yeah, before, but this is the thing though, right? So just to clarify things, because Yuli and I were good friends, mm-hmm. We trained together. We help.
I know.
Yeah, we help each other.
Love it.
And just want to clarify this because we have a lot of same fans.
Right.
So I don't want somebody thinking, oh, but Yuli was calling him out. Hold up. Before Yuli did his call out, okay, when Thiago did his debut, before he did the debut, when he first got signed, I told Dave personally. Yuli did it publicly.
Right.
I did it personally, and Dave can attest to this. Dave, the promoter. I told Dave, if his opponent falls off, give me a call because I will take that fight in short notice. I'll replace the opponent. And sure enough, the opponent fell off. But when I went to go see the fight, I'm like, Dave, why you didn't call me? He's like, man, you have your fight pending with Jim Adlers. And it's true. I understand that view, you know. Plus, Thiago, that was supposed to fight at 170 or 165, ended up fighting at 185. In a 2 week, notice, he changed the weight class. So
I wasn't aware of that. Okay.
Yeah. So like the fight wasn't booked for 185. He wasn't supposed to debut at 185. You know,
but nonetheless, it's not like anybody's cock blocking the next man.
No, but
either.
I had wanted that fight since way back. You know, it's just in case because some people they only seen Yuli calling out Thiago, you know, publicly after his fight, after his knockout.
But by the way, that was the only time he did it, though.
Yeah.
You made it way more announced. He did it right after his fight during his interview, which I love him for. He said somebody else.
Yep.
He said something, and maybe, no disrespect, Thiago, I'm a big fan of yours. Maybe if he wanted to run it, we can run it. Maybe it could be for a belt. Miami would love that. And that was awesome. That was it. You went the extra mile. I said, like, making it public. No, and I'm saying that with respect. You did it right, though, you know. And it's not that Yuli did it wrong. But regardless, Malky, first round management, played the cards right, where both fighters are signed under first round management.
No, but double dipping, man.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
To me, that's double dipping.
They're gonna win either way.
You butt me out. Yeah. You know, he tried. He contacted me like, oh, I've never had a partner with you. He gave me all that stuff, but I've heard so many things from the past. We've had a bad past ourselves, you know. Uh-huh. And that's why I never signed with them and whatever. And, you know, he tried to give me the whole talk, the brotherly talk. Like, look, man, you know, I don't do the fake talk stuff, you know. That's double dipping. Mm-hmm. You know, and I wrote that bothered him. It bothered him. That's why he contacted me, because I said, yeah, you know, he's double dipping, because it doesn't matter who wins.
He's hedging his bet.
He wins.
He's hedging his bet without a doubt. Money, yeah. Yeah. I mean.
It makes sense for him.
How can somebody deny that isn't being done in some managerial way? You can either say that's smart, or you can say whatever it is. It is what's being done. It's what's being done. It is what it is. And at the same time, though, I still love it, because Yuli does deserve that shot. Yeah, I think it's a great fight for Yuli. Yep. I see our boy winning without a doubt.
Yeah,
and that's not to talk shit about Thiago. Thiago's chin has been wired. I mean, not broken, but he's been dropped a lot of times.
Yeah.
And we know that your chin starts going out when that happens way too many times. Yep. And, you know, he's been used to a lot more different type of fighting in regards to the kicks and the takedown and all that. Yuli hasn't been clipped. Yuli told me the only time he's been clipped was by Hector Lombard. Who hasn't been clipped by Hector Lombard? He said Hector done it once in sparring. Yeah. And that's about it. So you're talking about, you know, his jaw's fresh. And this is, you know, if this was a boxing match, I think Thiago might win. If this was anything kickboxing, who knows? But this is bare knuckle, and Yuli likes to get in there, and it's just one touch, my brother, and that's it. The monster's on it.
It's a complete different animal.
Exactly.
It's a complete different animal. I think that you have to have some sort of hood, some sort of street in you. You can't, let me look. Boxers don't translate all that well to bare knuckle.
Right.
You know what I mean?
They try to get MMA, too technical.
MMA fighters translate a little better, you know, from the clinch work to the gloves, mm-hmm. you know. But, yeah, man, I think that there has to be a balance between the boxing. Of course, you have to have skill. But that hood, too, that animality, you know, that inner beast got to come out, too, man, because it's a complete different animal. I see Yuli win this fight either by a early knockout or a bad stoppage.
Yeah.
One or the other, he's winning.
I can't wait, man. Again, guys, just to remind you guys, this event is coming up June 26th. Y'all need to go show your love. Make sure you support everybody. And if you can't show up to the fights, can't lie, dog. Tickets are a little steep, man. Those tickets are a little steep.
Out of nowhere, man.
But, you know, it caught everybody by surprise, because we're used to a bunch of different prices when it comes to fights and things of that nature.
This ticket started at 85 all the way to 800.
85 is the low one. Is the low. I was talking to your girl trying to work something out, and she's like, I'm like, hey, my guy was asking about the $800 seats, because it comes with drinks and food and whatever. Yeah. And I'm like, is it a table with seats, or is it per seat? Seat. She responded. I was like, oh shit, 85. I'll be over there in the back. What's up, all you beautiful people? Listen, guys, just wanted to cut in really quick to remind you there is a lot of things coming for the Black Sheep. And I say the Black Sheep without the perspective, because there's bigger things that's going to coincide alongside the podcast. We do have the vlog series Go Ahead and Ask the Black Sheep. It is doing even better than what I thought it would, because not everybody wants to listen to a podcast. Not everybody's in tune to the guest that's on the podcast. But if you go to Go Ahead and Ask, that involves you, that involves the average Joe, that involves anybody who wants to send me a question, and they would love my take, my opinion. And I can show your video clip if you give me the permission, even though too many people are shy about it. But if not, you can just send me the DM, send me the question in some shape or form. I'll address that as well. Also, what's coming out now will be the Black Sheep merch. Guys, this has been a big dream of mine. It is completely in the works right now. There's just a lot more little steps to take. But I would say that probably within the summer, early summer, if not midsummer, we'll gain stride. And I think you guys are going to love where it's going. So I just want to tell you guys that. Keep your eyes peeled. Stay tuned for everything else that's coming behind this. And thank you guys, as always, thank you for all the support. Now let's get back to the podcast. You know, I want to talk to you, Baboon, about a quick topic about the Logan brothers. I'm sorry, the Paul brothers, and we'll get to that. I'm very irritated nowadays about the hate that
getting.
Well, just in general, the amount of hate that keeps flaring up from people. We can sit here and fucking talk for days psychologically as to why people hate, why the hate comes out. You know, it's somewhere based out of nowhere. You know, I don't know, but it's kind of like I'm a hardcore Dolphin fan. I've never hated, not for a fucking millisecond, Tom Brady. Why would I hate that guy? I don't want him to beat our ass like he does. But if he's not whooping our ass, The man's a fucking god. He's the best quarterback that ever done it. Why am I hating on him? Oh, I hate Tom Brady. What did he do to you? What the fuck? I don't get it. So a lot of people hating on Paige because she's doing the tits and ass and going the voyage route and the fucking the OnlyFans. Let that girl make her money, you fucking haters. Like, why are y'all tripping on that? Why y'all hating? I just don't get it. And to the Paul brothers, I don't think there's any disrespect going on. I don't think that they're making anybody look bad in regards to the fight world. These guys are doing exactly what they set out to do. You want to shut me up? Come beat me up. I didn't say I was the best boxer. I didn't say I can beat every MMA fighter. But this is my world. And if y'all want to get this big-ass check, I get to pick and choose who I honestly think that I can outbox at this point in my career. And I fucking love it. I love what the hell they're doing, dog. I mean, more power to them. You know,
I don't agree with the hate either, man. I mean, I could understand some people's point of view, okay? Which, like say a fighter like me, right, that's been fighting for so many years, putting all this work, and maybe the fans, right? They're like, nah, you know, but that person deserves to make that type of money. You know, like, this guy just came out of nowhere. I mean, look, man.
I get that.
What that got to do with you, though?
Right.
That has nothing to do with you, you know? These people made fame for themselves, you know, because of what happened, whatever. They did their thing. The Disney thing. That was their life. That's what it was brought to them. Mm. That's how they lived their life. And now they're using that to make more money. Wouldn't you?
Like, exactly.
Like, if I was a fighter and I, out of nowhere, I was an actor, you know, wouldn't I use that fame to make more money? Like,
that's a great example. You know, like, you just did that. You used your fighting career to become an actor and start making more money.
You're going to hate on a dude because he's coming over here making more money than you. That's just straight up hate.
Exactly.
Yeah, I'm not with that, man. I mean, you got to think about it like this. Well, you got to look at it like it's entertainment, man.
There you go.
It either entertains you or it doesn't. If it doesn't entertain you, you don't pay for it.
Brother, if it wasn't entertaining, that many people wouldn't be paying as much as they're paying so that these guys can make the amount of money they're making. They're making a lot of fucking money.
Man, look at Willie right about to get his...
But that man's so happy right now. He's so happy right now. I hope the man... Listen, I got nothing against Tyron. Mm-hmm. I don't like how he ended his career.
Me neither.
And I think that I don't want this to bite me in the ass because I kind of like the guy. But at the same time, man, you talked a lot of shit for the end of your career. You went into the rap game. You went into the movies. You got super clout and this and that. And it bitch and ass little by little by little because somewhere there you lost that fire. And then here came 4 losses in a row. Even though your last one, I loved his fight against Luque. I thought that was a good one. That was the old Tyrone. But whatever, fast forward, we're here. Man, you now have an opportunity. I hope the motherfucker does his best at training to get ready for that. I know Mayweather invited him to go to...
That's dope.
I think that's dope.
That's dope.
Listen, these dudes about to get real. Yeah. I'm not racist, but they're about to... We need to whoop these white boys, boy. We can't let these...
Yeah, but if you think about it, man, look, compared to the other guys that Paul fought, you know, Woodley in MMA, you know, is one thing, you know, smaller gloves, all that, you know. But it's like we were talking about with me, right? The wear and tear from MMA, and then I only focus on boxing. Think about Willie only focus on
I boxing. Get you, bro. I get you.
He got power.
That's how, yeah, man.
And he's still young. He's not that old. And, you know, he's very athletic.
Right. Yeah. No, you're right. Great point. Great point.
Man, you know?
I mean, I think you're the perfect example. You know, you're the perfect example. To me, you really seem untouchable now when it comes to these fucking hands.
I feel like it.
You know? And, well, let's talk about that. So, I know you're going to whoop this dude up, man. What are you calling? You said multiple things. Me, personally, I think the smartest route, and I would love to see it, is what you mentioned on the internet, 5 rounds of torture. I mean, unless he just can't take it.
I don't think he's going to take
it. Yeah, I don't think he can take it neither.
Look, for me, I'll settle with breaking something.
That's what you ended up saying last.
I know that I'm going to knock him out. I know that once I connect, look, I have... power that people will not understand until they feel it.
I hate you, brother.
You know what I mean? And I'm telling you because I spar with people 85, 190, 200. Just the other day, I'm not going to mention his name. You know, he's 200 and some pounds. You know, like you can feel my power. And I'm 167 right now. You know what I mean? So when you put somebody my weight class and I connect, it's lights out. So I know that all I got to do is connect with this dude. And in MMA, it was like that. MMA, I believed in myself that if I just touch you, you're out. But the wrestling came, the takedowns came, and it started taking away from my confidence. It takes away from your confidence.
Right.
You don't want to sit on your punches. You're second-guessing your combinations. You know, now my boxing has gotten better because I've gotten better. you know? And I possess that power and that confidence again that I know all I got to do is clip you. You know?
So I want to disrespect this guy and look past him. I do. I don't give a fuck. You're my boy. I know. But even if you weren't my boy, I'm not blowing smoke up your ass. I really think you're the real deal, dog. When it comes to this shit, I think you can. I don't know who to fucking test you. I really don't. I don't. So because of that, I want to think a little bit more forward. You know, you've come a long way, Baboon. You're next street kid. You're next. I know you weren't gang affiliated, but I know you were connected. You know, you knew him. You were close to him. Whatever. Yeah. All that good stuff. You used to have red hair that looked pink. My man, I think you're growing it back out. He done had the suave, Jerry curl, beautiful. He should be on a commercial thing. But you become a very intelligent, very wise, very disciplined man. And I know that you're thinking more into the future now. And that doesn't mean hanging out the gloves yet, but I know you're thinking to the future. Something that you got going on, if anybody's interested, especially since we were talking about it when you first got here, you have your own...
business.
What do we call it? Breeding?
I'm
talking about the breeding.
Bullies. Baboon's Bullies.
Baboon's Bullies. Yeah. Oh, my God. These things are fucking gorgeous. But I'm telling you right now, folks, don't even go look it up if you ain't ready to go deep in your pockets because these motherfuckers from a litter from...
No, I got the sickest...
Blue Ribbon eyes, Champions. Yeah. You just got an 8-puppy litter.
Yes.
Are they already counted for?
No, because I just started posting about it because I haven't been using... I've been so busy.
Yeah, no,
I haven't been on the social media for Baboon's Bullies, but now I'm starting to get active on it.
Okay.
They're going to fly, man.
Yeah, they are. They're going to fly. They are. Okay,
I'm not a breeder.
And this is Medulla's last breed.
Exactly. Dulce Leche, that's her name. Dulce Leche is my baby. You know, she had one puppy the first time. She had 3 puppies the second time. She's a quality breeder.
Right.
You know, she's a quality pups. That first pup I had, I got offered... $15,000. First I got offered $10,000, then I got offered $15,000 twice by 2 different people, and I wasn't even trying to sell her, like straight up, like real offer. Now, like, it hurt me that much, but I said, nah, man, I can't. I'm keeping her. It's like an only child.
Oh my God.
You know, and then the 3 pups came, gone, and now it's a litter of 8, where it's, yeah, you know. You pay what you get for, you know. You gotta put down for those.
Shout out to your lady. I know that she's helping take care of them right now. And by the way, including your lady, giving her a shout out, and both of you guys. You guys also started your own
Balanced Life Bento Meal Prep Company,
bro. You know, I've been talking to a lot of Goat Shed fellas, you know, including Gus, and I know that you guys. I don't know if you sponsor the whole place, but you sponsor a couple of fighters. I'm not sure.
We sponsor from different gyms, okay. You know, like Goat Shed, Dino's Fish Street Gym. Young Tigers Foundation, you know, and we do a lot of sampling too, where we just take out food to people. Like, you know, one thing that always ached me about the food business, like with restaurants, and I can understand when people throw things out because what are you going to do, right?
Right.
Give it out, man. You know, like if it's not going to get sold for whatever reason, or we do extras for like, that's how.
You have to cook extra. Yeah, you have to be ready.
The proof is in the pudding, man.
Right.
If you taste it, you jump in on it. So if you taste it, you're looking for it, you're going to jump on it. So we just give out.
That note, and I can't make this up, man. I know Gus is going to watch this. Shout out to Gus. Gus gave you guys the biggest shout out. Cool. Me and Gus were talking. Da, 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 da. I'm like, yo, how's your diet? How's your this? He's like, bro, I'm eating these fucking balanced meals from Baboon. And he's like, yo, I can't lie to you, dog. This is the best fucking food prep I've ever had. Hey. I'm not going to lie to you. If I wasn't sponsored, I don't know if I'll pay for it because that shit's so good. It's expensive. I know it's worth it, but man, this shit is delicious. I'm like, dog, that's what's up. So that's awesome, man. So you guys got that going on and you're still flirting with the bullies, but you don't know if you're going to keep doing it?
No. It's that I don't consider myself like a breeder.
Okay.
I do it really out of the love. You know, I'm a killer in the square circle, in the cage, in the ring. But I'm a softie in the house with my puppies, man.
Oh, man, if you don't believe it, look at the last video he posted up. I mean, by the time you guys see this podcast, he would have put up another one. But he literally just, dog. Oh, my baby, just put Medusa. And I'm the same way.
I'm a sucker for pups. And I figured, what's the best way to, like, get that puppy smell and play with the puppies, you know, and still be able to do it? I said, man, you know, I just keep breeding this right here. And when... The pups start out for pet price at $5,000 each. If you want breeding rights, it starts at $6,000 each. And we're not even talking about genders and first pick, second pick. Like it can go high, you know? But I don't do it for the money. Like I said, I do it for the love, you know? So it's like, I know that when somebody's going to spend that much money on a dog, man.
Yeah, they're going to give them
take care of that
the
dog.
Love, they're going to give them the love, right?
Yeah, so to me, it was like, I get to play with this pup for like, you know, a good 2 months. and put them in a happy home and make people happy because they made me happy.
Right.
They made me really happy. It's my Dulce is the first dog I ever had. My mom had dogs. We always had dogs in the family.
Right.
But it wasn't yours. I never had my own dog. Yeah. That was my first dog. So three breedings, retired. She's done. She's not reading no more, and that's my baby. I don't want to make her age any faster, you know?
So going back to the fight, you run through this clown. I know David's having a hard-ass time finding you fighters. I don't know that you think that anybody really deserves a title match because I don't know who. You know, again, guys, if you don't know much about BKFC, it's still fairly new.
Yes.
It's still fairly new, like new. Yep. You know, really, it is. So they're still recruiting fighters. They're still scouting. They're, like Baboon was saying earlier off camera, they're really focusing on bringing in a lot of females in. They just signed Rachel. She's going to be fighting Paige. That's why we spoke about Paige. Do you have the option to do other things? And if so, what might be in the horizon? Are we still trying to get something boxing-wise? Yeah, I know you got a great manager. Shout out to your manager.
Yes. Boxing was my first love, man. Boxing was first love. I was trying to get into boxing like we spoke about, and I couldn't get it. But now how things are changing at the trailer car, for example, and, you know, I would love to do a huge boxing fight, man, like a big name, you know? And it's very simple, man. Look, bare knuckle is growing so fast that in my next fight, I'm going to be announcing this, as a matter of fact. I've already called out everybody at 45, 55, and 65. We already mentioned that. So my next step is I'm going to go a little further now, right? So now I'm going to call out people like Anthony Showtime Pettis, for example. I have much respect for Anthony Pettis. I'm also a fan. And I just don't, not hating on him, I just don't see him winning the PFL tournament. So where does he go next? You know, is he thinking 1FC? I don't think he's going back to UFC. Is he thinking Bellator, 1FC?
I don't think he's got him to pull the hands.
I don't know, man.
He's a kicking ass man.
But I want names like that.
Got you.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to call out any big name that's out there that can fight, but not just MMA fighters, professional boxers.
Okay.
So if you're a champion.
But you're trying to invite them into the bare knuckles, boxing.
I'll offer them this.
Okay.
I'll give you a title shot. You give me a title shot. I'll fight you. I don't care what about, even if they're not a champion. Let's say they're not a champion, but it's a big name. What I care is the name. If you're a big name in boxing, you're Dennis Ugas, El Cubano, right?
Okay.
For example, you're a big name in boxing, Ugas. I'll fight you in your ring. You fight me in my square circle. You know what I mean?
Okay.
And if they don't want to come into the square circle, I'll still fight them in the ring. If I get the permission from BKFC, of course. If I get the blessing from BKFC, I would love to do a big fight with boxers. And show them that I can beat them in their ring, you know, and invite them to my square circle. See if they have the balls to step into my square circle. If they don't step in, I'll fight them in their ring.
Without having to disclose too much, because I know there's obviously privacy rules, does your contract or whatever it is that you have with BKFC, does it run out soon? Is it over after this fight? Is there a stipulation there that allows you to negotiate? Or is really, you know, you still got a couple fights with them, but they're kind of lenient and they might let you do something outside?
Right now, we're actually working on finalizing my multi-fight deal.
Okay.
Because my three fight deal's over. You know, I did the three fights already, you know, and that was a tournament. I had signed a three fight deal in a tournament status. Everything came crumbling down when the whole COVID thing hit, but I still did the three fights. So practically I'm free, you know. But right now as we speak, that deal is being finalized.
Going into this championship fight.
Yes, it's being finalized for a new deal.
And is it going to be a guaranteed multi-fight or might it be a single fight?
No, it's a multi-fight deal.
It's a multi-fight deal.
If it's going to be a single fight, then I'll just go anywhere else because that's what I've been asking for all this time.
Okay.
Yeah, no, it's a multi-fight deal. You know, we were talking about three or four. We know we're still negotiating. So we will have, you know, more fights back-to-back with BKFC. And that's why it's like I'm going to be grabbing that mic once I knock this dude out, calling out, you know, those big names, man. Because I know that Dave is really cool. Look, for example, Dave allowed, what's his name that fought in the trailer card? Heavyweight from UFC.
Oh, Mike. Frank Mir
is on the contract with BKFC. Yet, you know, he didn't have a fight for Frank Mir, and he allowed him to fight in the trailer card where he was going to make a lot of money.
That's why he boxed that dude, right?
So, you know, I believe that in good faith, you know, if they don't have a good opponent for me, you know, that they would give me an opening to do a big fight. If it was something big like that was the surface. But definitely aiming at that, at a big boxing fight.
In case people don't know or remember, two of your biggest fights, two of your most notable fights, two huge wars, especially the first one, was against Justin Gaethje, who's a top UFC fighter right now, fought against Khabib and lost. And then did he just lose again? No, that was his last loss. It was against Khabib for the belt. I know that he only has a couple fights left on his contract. And I'm not sure that he would want to keep doing UFC because he was almost ready. He was already talking like he was ready to retire. I think he's another one who's, you know, around your age, but he's taking a lot of.
He's younger.
Is he?
Yeah, he's younger than me.
But he's a haymaking throwing guy, you know? Yeah. And right now they're trying to pair him with against Michael Chandler, who just came off the loss to this. Couple of things. One, how do you see that fight going if they make it happen? Two, are you still watching UFC? Are you still a fan of MMA? Or has that kind of got a little bit out of your system because you've been doing it for so long and now you're just too caught up in everything else?
It has kind of faded, I'm not going to lie.
Okay.
But I still watch the big fights. I still watch the big names, the names I recognize. The only thing that I can say is I don't know the newcomers.
Okay.
Because I don't keep up like I used to keep up. So the newcomers I'm not too crazy about because I don't know, you know. But the older names and, you know, the people that I've fought with, obviously, people that I know, you know, that I still keep up with those fights a lot. I still watch UFC fights, man. And as far as Gaethje against Chandler, Gaethje's taking that fight, man.
Yeah, you think so?
Yeah, man, because look, Gaethje can take a hit. Mm. Gaethje is battle tested. He can take a hit.
Yep.
He can take a hit. Look, there's fighters, it's like I've always said this. There's fighters that love to be the hammer, cannot be the nail.
The nail, right.
And unfortunately, Chandler, as powerful as he seems, as good as he seems, and he is, he can't really take a hit, man.
It kind of got showed, I mean? Yeah.
The thing is, he got knocked out of Bellator before he came up.
Yeah, I know, by Pabicho.
Exactly. So it's the thing is people like him, like, what's his name? The little one that lost against Conor McGregor? Chandler. Chad.
Chad Mendes. Yeah.
There's another one.
That's a good call. You're right.
So
these guys,
they're so scary in there, right, that people, like, get intimidated. And they get sucked into that persona, that pressure, mm-hmm. and they end up getting clipped and knocked out. But when they face people, like, for example, Chandler's facing now, like when Chad faced McGregor, mm-hmm. that's not stepping down, and they bring the fight to them. When Chandler faces Gaethje, or when he faced Charles Oliveira, that's not stepping down, and is bringing the fight to them.
Things change.
Things change. Mm-hmm. And that's when you can see that not just because they have power to knock you out doesn't mean that they can precisely take a hit. And he's known for that. I see Gaethje winning that shit, man.
And by the way, and I know we've talked about this many times, and you're probably fucking completely over it by now, but that first fight with Gaethje, you were doing him in, you had him, and then you did what you mentioned in the beginning of the podcast. You got into, fuck it, I'm going to tear his head off and stand right here.
Yeah.
And he caught you. You were beating him up. Boom, he had his hands like this, covering his face.
He just threw a check hook
and fucking clipped you, bro. I will never forget. I flipped
it
out.
It was a overhand right that he threw, and it hit the top of the head. So like this right here, chin, like I've never been knocked out.
Oh, know? Okay.
So chin-wise is like what we're talking about.
Right.
Like Chandler, Chad, you know.
Yeah.
When you knock, if you have a chin or not.
Right.
I've never been knocked out through my chin. And with the Gaethje fight, I was never knocked out. But when you hit the side of the top of the head, that's equilibrium.
Exactly.
What it takes away is your equilibrium. And in that fight, I didn't see no stars. I didn't see no black. I wasn't out. As a matter of fact, I recovered. I went to get up, and they already stopped it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
But it takes away your equilibrium. It takes your legs out. You know, it's like a flash. You know, even in the first fight, he did that to me too, but I popped up fast in the very first fight. That was the second fight when he finished me. In the first fight, he clipped me. I went down and went up because it's an equilibrium thing.
But it was the second fight that something happened to your leg.
No, that was the first fight.
First fight. Okay, first fight.
The very first fight, we come in, we throw a low kick. His chin
lands
on my ankle.
That's right. Yep, I remember.
And that took the ability of me placing my weight on the back leg to check the kicks. So when he seen the kicks started to go in, I couldn't check them. You know, that's when he took my leg out.
Speaking of another notable fighter that you have a win over, George Masvidal, you know, big shout out to George. I'm a big fan of his. He represents Miami very much, and of course our Latin people and everything else. He just started a league. He started his own bare knuckle fight league.
Yeah, Game Bread, something. Right?
Right, yeah, I think I don't know if it's
Game Bread Fighting Championship or something.
Something like that. And I didn't know until
dope
I saw
name.
So, but it's supposed to be MMA bare knuckle.
Yeah,
that's wicked. I didn't know that. We're going back to the roots now. Like, holy shit! How do you feel about that?
I seen him in an interview, and I've only seen him once. I don't know if he's changed his mind about this, but I've seen an interview where he's talking about that it's going to be the same thing as MMA, except for no gloves. I don't believe that's going to work.
too much damage too quick.
I don't believe that's gonna work. You know, I think the wrestler's gonna come in again, make the fight. Because what makes bare knuckle so exciting from MMA today is, you know, there's no wrestling, no grappling, there's no like stalling.
Yeah.
Right. And if, and then we're talking about bare knuckle now. You know, so bare knuckle MMA is like, it gets wild. The accuracy is not the same. You're going to land up with break more broken hands.
Right, that's what I was thinking.
You know,
yeah.
In the ground and pound, all that shit, you know. But if he was to reconsider, this is what I would do if it was my idea, right? If he was to reconsider changing the time range, for example, instead of 5 minutes, make it 4 minutes. Because, man, in bare knuckle, 2 minutes, your hands are puffed out in the first round. You know what I mean? So the damage to your hands is really fast.
Speaking of puffed out hands, I saw you hitting that damn board in your video.
That's one of my secrets. I had to put it out right there already.
It's just a board. Are you barely wrapping with a little bit?
It's called Makiwara. That's like ancient, man. That's from karate from Japan. And from Okinawa, Japan.
And so it strengthens your knuckles and your nerve endings?
It's a board. It's a board that has a very thin piece of leather around it. You just hit it, man. You just hit it. I do 360 strikes religiously every day. You know, before or after training, mostly after training. But you know, if you were to do that MMA fight, make it 4 minutes and change something, like if you're on the ground for a whole minute and there hasn't been a submission or damage, stand it up.
Ooh, I like that.
If you were to do those little tweaks, not 5 minutes, 4 minutes, you know? Because when you talk about 5 minutes, people reserve themselves. What makes bare knuckle so exciting is that it's 2 minutes.
Yeah, that's right. Let the whole
tank
out.
You're letting that shit go.
Right.
You know, that's why the last event BKFC had, it was 10 fights, 10 finishes.
Wow.
You know what I mean? You want to keep that excitement, you know? So if he was to do that, change it, make it 4 minutes, and don't allow for the floor to go on longer than a minute unless there's a submission already done. Like if you didn't submit, I don't care if you almost had it. If you didn't get a submission in 1 minute, stand it back up, keep the action flowing, you know? Or... yeah, that's just that. That's that. Or you're like damaging, ground and pound, like there's blood coming out. There's like, if you used to just tweak those two little things, man, I would think that would be really successful.
Who knows, man? Maybe you have an idea that somebody might want to, you know, join on board with you. I mean, seriously.
I don't know.
I feel like the game is going that route where we can get a little, you know, special with it. Look at Boss Rutan's karate thing.
Oh, he's doing a competition too?
Yeah, it's MMA. It's somewhere in the neighborhood of what you're talking about, but they have a slanted wall.
Oh, damn, like the old school Bloodsport.
Yes, it's exactly it. So that when these guys try to run, they can't stay there. They got to come back down.
Yeah.
And it's pretty brutal, dog. These guys are getting at it. People are getting knocked out.
I'm about to check that out.
It's doing good. I think it's only about a year or so in. So, you know, there's people are flirting with a lot of great ideas. I think those are great ideas. Who knows, man? Somebody listening, they want to team up. And by the way, on that note, because I know we're going to be cutting soon because I know you got to go train, where are different things that people can follow you on? First of all, let's tell them we got Baboons Bullies.
Yeah, Baboons Bullies on Instagram.
Spelled just like B-A-B-O-O-N-S.
Bullies, yes. Bullies. And at, you know, Luis Baboon on Instagram is just mostly what I use. And I do answer to fans.
Okay.
You know, unless you get disrespectful, then I just block you. Like, bye. You know, you lost your chance. You know, if you don't even have to be my fan. I'm very reasonable. Like, I have people writing to me from England that they become fans of me because I go back and forth with them. And if you're logical and respectful, I'll go back and forth with you.
Awesome.
If I have the time.
Right.
If you get ignorant and stupid, delete it.
Yeah.
Not who you talk to, you know? But
And then you also have the meal preps?
At Balanced Life Bento, and also my fan page on Facebook, Luis Baboon Palomino.
Let's say that correctly. Balanced Life?
Balanced Life Bento.
B-E-N-T-O?
Yeah, like a bento box.
Okay, what is that? What is bento?
So in Japan, you know, it's a bento box. That's how they do their food.
You say that like I know what the fuck that is. I know what a bento box is. What is it?
You know the emojis come from Japan? You
know that? Yeah, I had an idea. I wasn't positive.
So in the emojis, you'll find a bento box. It's like a square like this full of food. That's called a bento box.
So that's how they serve it in Japan?
Yeah.
So that's their plate almost?
In Japan, they eat like a bunch of different things.
And they put
don't
it in
just
box.
Eat like us. We like arroz con frijoles.
Yeah,
you know, like rice and beans and a chicken. You know, like they eat like this. Like they have like a couple of different sides. It's like a box, and they call that a bento box.
By the way, you had a Peruvian fight earlier. He won. He looked good.
Oh, Fuelis, he already fought.
Oh, that's another Peruvian, huh?
The UFC fight?
No, there was an early. You got two. There was an early one.
Oh, no, I didn't know.
First or second fight.
Oh, I didn't know there was another one.
Yeah, he won. When they said Peruvian.
I know Puelles was fighting, but yeah, I know there was another Peruvian.
Is that the one fighting against hometown boy, Miguel Baeza?
No, Baeza's fighting the Argentinian. Porcino, Porcino. So
yeah. You're right. That is true. Anyhow, so listen, anybody listening right now, don't forget June 26th. What time is the doors open? Might you know?
I would say fights are going to start 8 p.m., man. Don't be after 8 p.m.
Miami, come on, man. Get right. Yeah, God damn, right. We have a horrible fucking reputation for going in late. You don't want to miss a single fight. Shout out to Alan Arsano, homeboy of ours. He's going to be fighting on that card, too. I think he got the late call. He's in there. A lot of Miami guys in there. So, Miami, stand up. We got to go support our people. Baboon should be, you're not positive yet. You're either the co-main event or...
I don't know, because they've pulled out so many different posters. At first, I saw the weight divisions, like the heavyweight champion. First, it was Joey Beltran, heavyweight. Mm. Then it was Hector Lombard against Joe Riggs. Then it was Julie Musser and Thiago Alves. And then it was me. And then I saw a complete different setting.
I can't be your championship fight. How the fuck is it possible?
I don't know. I mean, they're all title
shots. Oh, yeah, you're right.
But then again, then I seen something that made a little more sense, because there's active champions and people that are about to be champions.
Right.
So then I saw Joey Beltran. That's the one that I got sent.
Right.
And that's the one that I share. Joey Beltran, because he's defending his title. Myself against this idiot defending my title.
Hector.
Then Hector, then Yuli and Thiago.
That sounds like that makes the most sense.
It does make more sense.
Yeah. Because those are two toss-ups.
But then I saw another one where it's Hector.
First.
Yeah. You know, with Joe Riggs. I'm confused.
Dave, what are you doing, man? Come on, man.
I don't know who's who. I don't know who's
first. By the way, Dave, if you're listening, I hope you are watching, man. Come join the podcast. I definitely want to get into it. Pick that brain apart and see what you got going on with this great thing, this great movement you got going. Guys, take a look at this belt. Can you please grab that belt and show it to that camera a little bit better? That motherfucker is heavy as hell. And by the way, that's one of them, because you were awarded two. You were awarded the original.
The first belt in the existence of belts.
The first belt in existence. And it looks old school as fuck it's still heavy. It's still dope. But it's so many different weird, like, the way it has, you know, like the attachments.
It's called the Police Cassette Diamond Belt. It actually has diamonds on it. And it was the first belt that was ever created.
Wow.
Yeah, that's dope. So I have the present and the past.
If that's Hall of Fame shit, brother. Yes, like,
I actually got inducted to the Hall of Fame.
Did you? For BKFC or for?
No, for the Police Cassette, which they have a six-foot trophy that they have. Like the names on them, their champions, but only the champions that held the Police Gazette Diamond Belt.
That's off the chain.
You know, so my name is on the trophy, and I got inducted into the Hall of Fame as well as Joey Beltran.
That's awesome. I did see Joey's interview right now with Andy filmed something where he was talking about getting inducted. I know he got inducted. He deserves it. Joey's a great guy, man. He's been training in Miami a lot.
He's still in Miami. I told him he's going to leave.
And he's dating Britton Hart, too.
They moved here. That's it.
That's it.
I told him, you're not going to go anywhere, right?
Oh, man. Y'all stay out of our state, man. Hey, guys, thank you for tuning in. Make sure you follow Luis Palomino. Make sure you tune in to the BKFC fight. We love you. See you on the next one. My boy. Peace.
Thank you, my brother.